pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line, you need to be in touch with the program, 251-343-0106 is how you get in touch with the show. Still to come on the program about 30 minutes from now, Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery, and then from the Heritage Foundation, 11 o'clock hour, Alan Mendenhall. As promised, I need to get to somebody's text here, so we'll pick it up. Unnamed texter kicks it off. They've been talking about this bridge for 20 years, and they could figure out how to get rich on the scheme, then they would build it. I think they already have, though. Maybe it's peanuts compared to the overall total, but I suspect somebody's making some wealth off of it. Mike writes, anyone who agrees flock cameras either forgot about COVID under Alabama rule or was okay with Meemaw and Scott Harris's tyrannies, and it is supporting the backbone of their system enforcement for the next time. It gets back to what we were talking about with soon-to-be Senator Waters, just a distrust of your institutions. Because in theory, this could work, but we're all flawed. We're all human beings. And I find it, you know, it's this. Like, okay, people don't want flock cameras, data centers, AI. Well, do you blame them? And COVID is a big reason for that. Scroll over, read. Replying to what someone asked yesterday, storms in the eastern Pacific, especially those that affected Hawaii, mainly Hawaii and America, have been long called hurricanes. Remember Hurricane Inki in 1992, which struck, I don't know these Hawaiian names, during the filming of Jurassic Park. What about the ones that I think impact Asia become typhoons, right? Jason, good morning, Jeff. I applaud Escambia County overwhelmingly voting to make the superintendent an elected position. Do you believe we'll ever see Mobile or Baldwin County go that route? No. I don't. There's too much power in it. Maybe it should. But it's this idea of representative democracy. And, you know, it's not like we don't vote for like cabinet secretaries. And that's sort of the idea there, but so much of the policy and I think you need a state superintendent elected as well, probably. I think you would have a totally different education system in Alabama if you elected your state school superintendent. I don't know. Baldwin County and Mobile County may be tough because they're so big. Pete, Jeff, leftists are already violent and threatening more. Randy, the DSA platform is not revolutionary. It borders on treason. under our system, I mean, they want to do away with what somebody said they would do with the Senate. You know, like, okay. I think a lot of the DSA happy talk comes from a place of ignorance. It's like we talk about on this show. We have sort of the schoolhouse ideas about the civic process and the way things should work, but how they really work, how the system really functions. The untold story already, maybe it's been told 100 times. It's just the ununderstood, the misunderstood, the unknown to a lot of people. It becomes very difficult to grasp. I see this all the time. I've kind of carved out a niche here with Alabama politics, but it took me 20, 30 years to really understand it. You understand how, and Alabama is a complicated state. Now, it's not as complicated as a lot of states. If you think about like Florida from Pensacola to Key West. But think about Alabama from the shoals all the way to the wiregrass. And the people outside of Alabama, they just look at Alabama as a monolith. Like, you know, they all think the same. You know, there's a stereotype, and man, is there a stereotype. I was reminded that on our trip last month or earlier this month. But it's not, when you start talking about public policy and tax dollars and, you know, just education, and it really isn't a monolith. Sure, there's a lot of similarities from one end to the other that you know, make Alabama much different than Montana or New Hampshire or whatever. But there are subtle differences that have to be acknowledged. Toothless Bammer was hoping Alaska would have gotten rid of ranked choice voting. Just tuned in. If Vindman spent $15 million on this race, epic rejection for this fraud. Embarrassing. I would leave Florida. Ranked choice voting is just, yeah. I don't get it. It's these people who, the people who are like behind the ranked choice thing. I mean, in theory, it is a rejection of party politics. But it's also just an avenue to power. It benefited somebody somewhere along the way to hold on to their office. And now we're stuck with that system. And it just becomes complicated. Backstrap. KIV can't get out of office fast enough. Same with John Cooper. He hated South Alabama ever since his ass was handed to him by Jim Ziegler and the No Tolls campaign. He did not handle it. He's not a, he is a, maybe he's a good manager, or he was when he was at AdTran 20 years ago. But you can't run government. You can't run an agency like ALDOT with all the tentacles it has in politics like a top-down corporation. You just can't. And he wouldn't get his way, and he would pout. Or he would be very vindictive. Ask Bill Holtzclaw when he was state senator up there in North Alabama. Opposed the tax increase, and they were punitive. Robert Bentley. And John Cooper just stopped building a road widening project mid-construction. They were going to show him. They're not just hurting Bill Holtzclaw when they do that. They're hurting those people, and they're wanting those people to get mad at Bill Holtzclaw. Well, I mean, is that the best use of your transportation resources? Fire Dog. Jeff, on the morning broadcast, there were a new 20-acre electrical company moving to Bay Minette. Are there a ton of protests about this new electrical company and about how much power and water the site will use? What about creating a ton of heat? There's not. I'm not going to tell you, you know, a solar farm. It's just, people just don't know. I think there's a lot of just, I don't say ignorance or, but here's what it is. Fire Dog. A lot of our policymakers spend too much time on social media, and they assume that that's a good barometer of public opinion. It's not an unimportant one, but it is not really, I think, necessarily indicative of where the public is. There's a lot of busy people in Baldwin County, and they don't have time to engage on Facebook. I mean, you don't have time to engage about a solar farm when you got to figure out how you're going to pay your mortgage. How you're going to, I mean, like, you have needs. And being concerned about some of these issues like that are kind of a luxury. Like, the things you need to worry about in your daily life and having the time, desire, effort to put it toward opposing a solar farm, Fire Dog, is interesting to me. Because I think that's a totally different sector of the electorate. I do believe that. I think it's like a very different, separate thing that maybe, you know, it's just there's a lot of people looking, it's like a rebel without a cause. And then they find a cause, and it becomes the most important thing. Daniel, Alabama Alcohol Department is why nobody wants Alabama to start bigger government. Guys, I want to give you kind of a teaser here, what I think, that eventually they're gonna disband the ABC as we know it. I think this happens under Tuberville. We talk about big bloated bureaucracy and downsizing government. And why does this prohibition era system still exist? It's because a very select few people are benefiting from it financially. And it's not just one. It's always like explained to me as such that a lot of people who hold these leases for these ABC stores, well, the state holds the lease, or they sign the lease, but the people who are the renters, the state, and then the people who own the property are benefiting. And you can always count on a tenant like the ABC, like the state of Alabama, paying their rent on time, paying their bills on time. And they may be small players, but collectively they add up to be a big player. And that's why we got this like system. It's this old legacy system that a few are benefiting from. And how much do you have to spend, how much time and effort do you have to put into stopping any effort to reform an antiquated system? Not much. Ask Senator Elliott about occupational licensing. But it's sort of similar to that, that we have this system that is a throwback to the last century. Well, why does it exist how it exists? Well, you know, at the time it made sense, but now here we are, 100 years later. Why are we still doing it this way? Well, because people have figured out how to profit off the system. And if you change the system, well, they're going to lose that. So they pony up a few thousand dollars in government affairs, and they still come out ahead. And they keep this antiquated system in place. Jeff, you're right on the money with this ABC board stuff. And it's just, there's things being done in the Ivy administration, I believe, that are meant to try to cement some of this and keep a Tuberville administration coming in and changing things. They don't know what to expect. A lot of them don't. I think building up this infrastructure, trying to plant that flag in the ground for a more permanent, longer lasting on the way out. I think there's some of that going on. Monty, there is a large solar farm I noticed east of Atmore, the canoe area. How is that? Some of you may be listening. I mean, how has that changed people's lives in Escambia County, if at all? I mean, this is a genuine question. If you're listening, let me know. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poehler Show at FM Talk 106.5. To the Jeff Poehler Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. Joey Clark up in just a few minutes, so stick around for that. Continuing on the text line, Tim writes, there was a smaller farm put on Lot Road before you get to Georgetown. Nobody said a word about it. It just kind of slipped through the cracks. It's right there beside the highway where you could see it, and it's right up next to people's houses. Yeah, just, you know, like I said, it's like somebody along the way said, we need something to rail against on Facebook or whatever, Twitter. I don't know. I just don't think these things are real life. I mean, maybe they are slightly, but, you know, we look at it, and it's a different group of people. Now, here's the thing about Baldwin County, Tim. They're beaten down. People here are beaten down by subdivision after subdivision after subdivision just popping up, springing up out of nowhere. That has a lot to do with it. And maybe this is the straw that broke the camel's back. You're going to do what? You're going to put what here? We don't want that. So you kind of have an environment where people are very, very skeptical of any development. And solar panels just seem like something. I don't know. How would we feel about these big windmill farms? This is driving through Iowa and just miles and miles of wind farms. Are stuff like that. I makes me wonder. Under the corn, you know, or over the corn. Mike, I know the gambling talk and predictions market controls is going to be a big issue next year, but I was wondering if you could offset any prediction market losses on capital gains from your investment accounts, as it is now not technically classified as gambling, but is looked at as the same thing as the stock market currently. I don't know the answer to that. I've wondered the same thing myself. Because that seems very problematic if that's the case. Because you can write your gambling losses off. I mean, gambling, we figured out a way to do it with predictions markets. I think at some point, that's a question for the federal government, though. That's something Cauchy and these prediction markets, and they have existed for a while, but like you got to figure the problem was with these prediction markets early on was figuring out a way to do it to pass muster with the federal government. And then finally they got a hold on that. And it becomes a federal issue. I suppose the state could try to do something there. And it did just fight it out in court. But Mike, you raise a good point. I mean, if you could write off losses in other commodities markets, business expenses or whatever, then who's to say you can't do it here? Speaking of data centers, it is remarkable because Trump is for it. Because Trump has paid lip service to be for it. How all of a sudden the media have decided to be anti-data center. It's like the Keystone Pipeline of our era. Now, like, it's a very populist thing. And there's 100 different reasons people oppose data centers, but they are opposed to them. So that's not unimportant. And then, you know, whatever the justification is, you don't like it, you don't want them, how they're going to be used, etc. Now, the Trump administration's out there talking about them. The claim there is we have to do this or the communist Chinese will. But the thing you need to know here, the lesson here that's fascinating to me is how the left, the establishment left, is suddenly, and Doug Jones included, our anti-data center. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Now, I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home.
Jump Horse Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Wednesday morning. If you want to be in touch with the show, you know what to do. 251-343-0106. Text me, and we got a few outstanding. I promise you better than Eiffel Turner. We'll get to those in the next few segments. Joining us now, we do this on Wednesday. She's from the host of News and Views in the afternoon on News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery. Joey Clark is with us. Joey, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. Thank you for making time for us. Well, Joey, another election night here, and I kind of follow what's going on Florida politics, having lived there, and I kept hearing about James Fishback. And he was like a non-player in the whole calculus on the Byron Donalds. But that being said, it's like this whole new movement that we're supposed to be aware of, and the possibility of a sort of insurrection within the Republican Party. It's not a real thing.
Wait, you're telling me that I think this also happened a few of the House races. Like if you call somebody, say, a Shylock, and you say, maybe we should reconsider Hitler, that in Jewish Florida, you're going to lose big? Shocking.
I know. But it was like this was the most important thing in that discussion, and it turned out it was like not really something we needed to be concerned about.
Yeah, I think there is this disconnect I'm noticing more between the internet, what plays really well in today's algorithms on the internet, for better or for worse, and then what actually still affects voters. And I think some of the shock jock stuff plays well on the internet and get quite a following. You got to wonder how many of those folks actually follow you or American. But then when it comes down to the polls, I don't know. And also the media wants to play this up because Fishback said all sorts of crazy stuff. I think he got in a fight with an OnlyFans porn star over wanting to tax her. So, I mean, it's an interesting story, but you're not going to win an election with that. And Byron Donalds has been solid for years. I think he looks like a great candidate to be the next governor of Florida.
Well, it's like all this we need to be on the march against Candace Owens and Nick Fuentes or whatever. And it's, they have an audience, but it's not an audience that's going to consume the American political system like maybe it's made out to be.
No, and what we need is to throw holy water on Candace Owens. I know she's Catholic, but I just want to see what happens. But I think you're right that it's not playing with basic electoral politics. Maybe down the road, it can affect culture, and especially the young folks who don't make a lot of noise, but don't vote as much as, say, the 65 and up. Maybe down the road, we got a different politics. But, thank God, because some of the stuff, recently I just deleted X and Facebook and all the social media apps off my phone, because I'm like, I can look at it for a little while on my computer, but I got to get this stuff out of my hand. It's just toxic.
What you got to do, Joe, is don't let the algorithm dictate your social media experience. This is what I've done is, especially with like Twitter X, you can like create your own list. You engineer your own algorithm, and that keeps me from like going down these crazy rabbit holes. And, being consumed with this because it's not real life. It's like a runaway algorithm phenomenon in politics, but you divorce yourself from that and you look at it and that stuff doesn't matter.
And it is strange, like the Patrick Bet-David debate with Candace Owens and Andrew Wilson gets millions of views across multiple channels. And if I bring it up on, say, Montgomery radio, most of my people are like, who are you talking about?
Right.
I don't know any of those people.
The podcastification of like American politics, and sure, I mean everybody see Joe Rogan, but that's just right. just a one slice of the pie, and you got to look at it a little more broadly, and you got to have a better grasp. I mean, I think that candidates who like get in the weeds and that stuff and let that be their North Star are destined for failure.
Yeah, man, I think it bodes well for 2028. Any possibility of some crazy insurgency. I think it's going to be what we predicted with Marco and JD kind of duking it out. And one thing real quick before I forget, on the Florida front, I don't want to encourage Democratic Socialists winning Senate primaries, but I was so happy to see Alexander Vindman lost. I think you just look at Vindman and you're like, yep, Socialist is going to beat that guy. I don't know. He wore out his welcome many years ago.
Yeah, and he was just a useful idiot for the Democratic Party at the time. And they got an impeachment out of it. Congratulations. But, you know, you had your 15 minutes of fame. It's over. And it was interesting to me that, well, this is who the establishment or whatever is going to try they're going to try to ride this to the finish line. And that was just a miscalculation.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. I think Florida is going to send two Republican senators. I think Florida is a pretty correct me if I'm wrong, Florida is a pretty reliable red state, not just in terms of sending representatives folks up to D.C., but they're like on the cutting edge of what should a really conservative red state government do. And I don't know. I like the action going on in Florida.
It's become a more Republican state than even Alabama. I mean, but look at the voting. Yesterday in the gubernatorial primary – yeah, like what? 1.7 million voted in the Republican gubernatorial primary and 1.25 million in the Democratic primary. That's a big gap. That's almost a half a million votes. And that should tell you, you know, even in an election cycle that should favor Democrats, they're not getting as much oomph as they need in what used to be a swing state.
Yeah, and that's the most just across the board, I think, bizarre thing. Even where Democrats seem to have momentum and the Republicans seem demoralized, it's like everybody just is tired of it all. Like there's a fatigue with Trump. There's even, I think, a fatigue with some of our state politics. There seems to be this general fatigue that even say you don't like the Republicans, you don't like Trump, the brand for the Democrats is still underwater compared to where it was, you know, 5, 6, 10 years ago. So I don't know. It's just a general discontent. Maybe that's why so much of the conspiracy stuff is playing well, whereas political content is sort of doing a nosedive online.
Well, I had the guy who defeated Greg Allbritton in a state Senate race on earlier, and we're kind of talking about it. It just in general, and I think this is across the board, Republican and Democrat, just the distrust of our institutions, our elite institutions. And that's politics and government, obviously, but it's high finance, it's Wall Street, it's marketing, it's Madison Avenue, it's Hollywood, it's certainly the tech sector. That there's just a general mistrust of it. And no one's really like owning that space. Instead of what's happening is people are already like, kind of, you know, built in into the ideology, their personal ideologies. And what it's doing is it's causing rancor, very partisan rancor among Republicans and among Democrats separately.
And I think it causes the crazy stuff, like we mentioned earlier, that just seems like completely new or completely in a separate, on a different planet. And, you know, I've been calling this for a while because, you know me, I was celebrating kind of the corporate media being put on the back burner by Trump, and especially what we saw in 2024. But I knew this was coming, and if it's a really bad thing, if you don't trust the institutions, and that's warranted, you shouldn't after a lot of things that have gone on. It's really a terrible place to respond to that. The only thing you trust is your own distrust, that it just starts getting to where you don't believe anything. You start getting led by the nose for the real story behind the story sort of stuff.
But you know what it is, though, it's a distrust that is a little apathetic. Now, if it ever like you ever figure out that apathy problem, then this is more of a phenomenon. But there's I just don't trust any of those guys, but it's not that big of a deal in my life. I got other fish to fry. And that's sort of like the stasis where we're at. It you do have some people who are on the right page here with the distrust and get it, but it's not enough of a distrust that makes people want to go out and just reject everything.
Yeah, there's still not a burn it down mentality. And I think there is room for you can see signs of it with what J.D. Vance is putting out there on his book tour of we want to rebuild. Okay, now that we've just, you know, things aren't literally knocked down, but nobody cares about them because we don't trust them. What if you actually propose things that break us out of the mold and start rebuilding things, be builders again? Will that actually play? I don't know. It's just, I guess that's the my main takeaway from all this, Jeff, is it's hard to read much of anything now. Like all the different back and forth, and especially the social media sort of ecosystem, it kind of leaves your head spinning. It makes me want to just pick up an old book and then I'll come back to this nonsense later.
Well, the malcontents, the people who have the luxury of, you know, making this a fixture in their life, I think it's a luxury, you know, that most people just don't have the time or the bandwidth to dedicate to their distrust. But it's the outlet is social media. And the mistake that people are making is treating it like it matters more than it does.
And just to put an example on this, like if you just looked at Facebook, whether you're looking at Doug's campaign, you just going by first name Doug, or you look at like Coach Tuberville and what he posts and stuff. If you're just going by social media reactions, you think Tuberville's got a close race or Tuberville's going to lose, which is nonsense. Like there seems to be this huge amplification of, you know, there are a lot of liberals in the state, but not that many compared to conservative folks. And it, I don't know, there seems to be a higher representation or proportion of folks have that malcontented, like, crankiness that's out there. And, well, and I don't know.
I think there's a laziness in our now in the general us, the media, where they have no idea really where the whole public is, that they're relying on these social media indicators, what's trending and the algorithm as like really where the public is. But that's where it is. Like you don't really know where folks are. You don't really have a grasp of it. You're just relying on what you're seeing in your Facebook, and you think that this is like the biggest public spectacle of all. And just like it occurs to me, like, well, you know, if you really want to like win elections, if you really want to use these metrics, or you're trying to figure out where the public is and this is where you're going to hit your wagon, that is so unreliable. It just does. It does not move the needle like you think it does.
No, I think what moves the needle are classic human things. Be authentic. Let people get to know you over a long term. In the case like somebody like Byron Donalds, people get to know him over his congressional career. And then you actually meet people in person. And you still see Alabama's politicians do this. I think there is something beyond all the social media hype when Tuberville actually goes and shakes hands. And to Doug Jones' credit, his town halls or Katie Britt's at this breakfast and that breakfast. There's still that element can't be denied. And it's not about the latest trendy freakout.
Yeah, and I don't know what it's going to be like, you know, 20, 30 years from now. This could be the ultimate barometer of what's on Facebook. But for now, that's why Tuberville succeeds. He is a good retail politician. He doesn't have the elaborate digital campaign, viral video or whatever. It's this. It's just like he'll walk up to you at a diner and he's not going to give you a political stump speech pitch. I see politicians make this mistake all the time. And really, he'll come up to you and he'll talk about he's good at reading you and saying, well, this guy cares about high school football, or this guy, he's wearing a Braves hat, or, you know, he'll figure out a way to work in an opening and become more relatable and go from there. Whereas a lot of guys, I mean, they're so focused on, you know, whatever's in the news that's just not how you connect with people.
I mean, the last time he saw me, he goes, "Damn, what happened to your barber, son?" I'm like, that's a good one. That's a pretty good opening.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
I think you're just jealous of
it's
my
just
hair.
These casual observations to make small talk. And then he takes that opening and makes it a political pitch. And it's so effective. I see it over and over and over again.
Yeah. And I don't know. And that's the hope, is like for all the craziness going on online, we're not as insane as the virtual world makes it out to be. And I do love the delicious irony that flock cameras and data centers are trending, and they really rely on everybody talking about this on data centers and all this information. It's like this feedback loop that As much as people think, I think they're pushing back against the coming tech overlords. It's like we're playing right into their hands, honestly.
Well, it's like, you know, take one of these like influencers and put them on the ballot. They never win.
Right.
You know, the Laura Loomer ran for Congress. How'd that work out? And so this happens, and it's kind of a head scratcher sometimes. But like these people, that they really had this, what they said mattered. And I'm not saying that they don't matter. Everybody matters, but they mattered as much as you thought that they did. Why is that showing up more in elections? Why not?
Right. Well, and then there's the sweet spot where the person is really good on social media and they're just really electric in person and they have this huge brand and identity that everybody knows. I mean, you saw this with Trump, and I think there are people coming down the road that are going to have that quality. If you want to win big, you have to have all the above sort of game, I'd imagine.
Joey, folks want to find you online. They want to check you out. How can they do so?
At the Joey Clark on X or Joey Clark Live on YouTube.
Joey Clark, ladies and gentlemen. Joey, we appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Jeff.
We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean.
Counting flowers on the wall, that don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line, you need to be in touch with the show, 251-343-0106. Butterknife writes, I just love it that Alabama is paying for the fiber to be put in from 98 and Fairview Avenue all the way to Bancroft. I'm sure taxpayers are going to get a lot of use out of it, considering there's already three other fiber companies on the same stretch. But they're doing the same thing everywhere. Yeah, I don't know the, I don't know what's going on there. There's a marketplace for it, and so be it. And I mean, Butterknife, is there like any merit to this? And this is just me asking. Like, at least you have competition. At least you have options. Unlike, say, other utilities, telephone or power, water and gas, you have an option. There is a marketplace. It's a competitive environment. Is there merit to that? Because maybe there is. And the end result is a more affordable product. Because once you bury the cable and it's down there, assuming it's not at any kind of public cost, at least not permanent, temporary maybe, then, I mean, is Alabama doing this or is a private company doing it? Ultra Runner, how did Florida go from purple to reliably red while increasing their population? Can we do the same? A lot of people move there. There's a lot of red flight. I think that's it. Just this a certain age demographic moves away from their basket case, socialist, Democrat run, big government is the answer to everything. And it becomes Republican more and more. I think it's just a demographic shift in society, to be honest, Ultra Runner. Why wouldn't you live in Florida? I mean, Florida has all its shortcomings, hurricanes and mosquitoes or, you know, whatever, traffic. But it is a system of governance that is just trying to manage things and not solve world hunger or whatever global problem there is with some government program. And, you know, that's a solid pitch. Like, just come down here and live. You don't have to worry with these hassles. And people, you know, some people like the hassles. Some people like the idea of this, a proactive government, because it's their way of like feeling like they're giving back, that they're doing something that matters. So they stay wherever they are. But because you put that, the system of governance, in addition to the climate, and it's what is a distinction between why people don't retire in California like maybe they did last century, like 50, 60, 70 years ago, and now they're going to Florida instead. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
But they still smell the powder burning, and they probably always will. And on the old town square, under the barbershop pole, they set me up.